It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Pennsylvania has the eighth largest population of women veterans in the country, and women represent the fastest growing segment of the veteran population. But as more women join the military and then become veterans, more of them are needing help in making the transition to civilian life. Recently, the Veterans Leadership Program expanded its services for homeless female veterans and their families. Project Journey is a new grant-funded program, and I'm joined now in Studio A by Project Journey's Veterans Leadership Program Development Director, Michelle Margatai. Michelle, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
And Project Journey Coordinator Trudy Friend, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
And we'd like to hear from you, particularly if you are a female veteran. What has the transition to civilian life been like for you? You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address, esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Again, the number, 412-246-2002. Michelle, how much of an increase are we seeing in the number of female veterans needing help?
Well, the fact that our population of military service members of women is the highest growing cohort in that demographic is now being seen after their service time. So here in Pennsylvania, and particularly in Western Pennsylvania, typically one out of seven veterans that come in our door of the 2,000 that we serve are women. But it's growing, and the types of needs are changing, and from the traditional needs of the Vietnam veteran era. So, in terms of the actual numbers, it is growing. But that's one of the difficulties is we're not quite sure how many, but we can just see it from what's walking, you know, who's walking in the door.
And when you say that the needs have changed from the Vietnam era, how have they changed?
Mm-hmm. So even within our government system, you know, most people, I think one of the big misperceptions is that people believe that the government takes care of all veterans. And in fact, there are tremendous services through our government and through the VA for veterans. However, those are typically, you know, the large percentage in previous eras had been male. So you'll see that those facilities are even changing where they're doing mammograms and they're doing from a healthcare standpoint. We're also seeing, since we have the highest demographic of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans in Allegheny County in the Commonwealth, we're seeing younger veterans with children. So again, moving into issues that if you do become homeless, you can't go to a male or a women's shelter because you have children with you. You need a family shelter. So we're seeing that those needs are increasing as well.
Trudy, are women experiencing more problems and different problems than men are in making the transition to civilian life?
Oh, absolutely. There's a number of issues that they are facing that their male counterparts aren't facing. And a lot of the women are coming in and just feeling they're more empowered when they come in. When they come in, they're kind of lost and just need that little bit of guidance to help them through their journey with us, connecting them to different services for women in particular. So that's a lot of the things that we're doing is working directly with the women veterans to, you know, get them hooked up with different services that are going to help them through that journey that they have to go through to become sustainable.
But are there challenges specific to being a female veteran?
Yeah.
Things that women experience in a war zone that men may or may not experience, and also different ways of processing the trauma that they've gone through?
Well, we all know just from listening to the news, military sexual trauma and harassment, about 25 to 48% of women veterans go through that. And not just women veterans, male veterans also experience that. What we're seeing actually through this pilot project of Project Journey are a number of folks that are coming back into civilian life and then getting into relationships that result in domestic violence. And I think that is a very specific focus of this program is often the women that we see in Project Journey are escaping a domestic violence or have escaped a domestic violence, gone through a shelter for 30 days, but need additional help. And that's one specific issue. I think there's, again, like I said, many more women veterans are coming to us with children. which when you go and try to find a job, living wage of $10 to $14 an hour is not going to support a family with children and childcare and transportation costs. So we're seeing that as another one. And again, we also see that with the male veterans from the most recent war. But I think particularly the MST is something that we're seeing. And that's to say that not all of our women veterans have experienced military sexual trauma. But I think what we can say is that all veterans experience a huge transition from going from 24/7 serving our country, being given what they're given, their food, their clothing, and being on very mission-purposed work. You know, these folks are out protecting populations and doing a tremendous service to every single one of us in our communities. And then they kind of come home, and that sense of mission is hard to find when they're just out in the community. And it's up to us to go find that and work with them to get connected, because they're going to be such a tremendous value to our communities. And that's what Project Journey is doing. It's not a lifelong journey with them. It's just giving them those moments of support that they need to make it to the next level, and getting them engaged in their communities and in the workforce so that we can take advantage of all of the great experiences and skills that they have.
And that's Michelle Margatai. We're also talking with Trudy Friend. They are with Project Journey. It is a program that is helping homeless veterans. And if you would like to share your story with us, 412-246-2002, particularly if you are a female veteran, what has the transition to civilian life been like for you? 412-246-2002. Your insight, your experiences are very valuable to helping us understand this issue. And ladies, we sometimes hear from veterans, male or female, that the transition from military to civilian life was more difficult than I expected. What is it that takes them by surprise? You mentioned earlier that there's the sense of mission that is gone, and also the regimented life. Someone, you know, is taking care of not only providing your essentials for you, but of scheduling your day. You don't have to think about it as much. But in terms of anticipating and not realizing what you're going to go through, why is there that lack of understanding about what you're going to face when you're out of the military?
Well, I think one thing is, as opposed to other areas of the country, we have the fourth highest concentration of veterans in Pennsylvania, the eighth largest population of women veterans.
Right.
What we don't have is a major military infrastructure like a Fort Bragg or a Camp Lejeune. So one of the things, it's not just what's given to you when you're in the military in terms of food and clothing and what you're doing 24 hours a day. It's also how you interact with others. You know, the way you speak to somebody is determined on their rank. The way, you know, your role, you're part of a much bigger process, a much bigger effort. And it's all defined. So when you come out, you go from having everything basically structured around you, and also the camaraderie of being serving alongside your brother or sister in arms, your battle buddy, if you will, if you've been deployed, and you come out and you come back to Western Pennsylvania where there's no place to connect with that. There's not a major military infrastructure where you can go to the commissary. And so I think that's one major issue that a lot of our local veterans experience.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Laura in Greensburg. Laura, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for calling in.
No problem.
You are a female veteran?
Yes, sir. I served through Iraq. I was deployed for 16 months, and it really took a toll on me. I didn't particularly use their services, but through therapy, I found that it's easier to transition when you have some people around you that have gone through the same things, whether they be male or female. But making that connection was the biggest thing. When I got back, I was totally closed off from my family, from my friends, and I just had to push myself to get out there.
And Laura, if I may ask you, did you have a hard time asking? Were you uncomfortable asking for help or receiving help?
I was. You get such a sense of pride being in the service, and mm-hmm. to ask for help, like, that makes you weak. And being that I was a woman with nothing but males all around me, I just didn't want to be viewed as weak by my peers, so I waited until I got out.
And we appreciate your sharing this, and stay on the line with us, Laura. I would ask Trudy and Michelle, I mean, how common a tale is what Laura is sharing with us?
Well, first off, Laura, I want to thank you for your service. And I think what we're seeing is that's very true. It's partly pride. We have people who are concerned about, you know, what it looks like and being weak, like Laura mentioned. But there's also this, you know, people go into the military to serve. So when they come home, we hear so many stories of veterans who don't want to ask for services because they believe that someone else needs it more than they do. And so, and I don't like to call that pride. I think that that's going back to that original unselfish reason of serving. And the way we look at it is it's our community's responsibility to really – what we always say at our office is we meet our veterans at the door with respect, gratitude, and a no-judgment attitude. And our job is to walk alongside them, not do the work for them, but walk alongside them, as Laura's mentioning, to help them sort of get back out there and redefine how they're going to be in this community, in this society. And that could be meeting them when they're homeless. That could be meeting them when they're looking for a job after graduating from college with a GI Bill. Or that could be, you know, after retiring 20 years and being an officer and not quite knowing what to do next. We meet them. We meet all kinds of veterans. And the difference between us and a lot of organizations, we serve all veterans. One day in boots, we serve you.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura, I would be interested to hear if you've received the kind of service and services from the government or from veterans organizations, the kind of help that you have needed to get on with your life, and how is your life going now?
I just recently went through a divorce. My spouse was in the military service, and I did go through domestic violence with him, and I stayed. Mainly because we had a child together, but I have been proactive because the only person that can fix you is you. So I decided that I needed help, and I bang down doors, and I go anywhere I can go to get the counseling or the services that I need. It's been very difficult just being on my own, but I'm learning that it's okay, and you don't have to have, like, your spouse. I know that sounds bad, but we deployed together, and we lost four friends together, and going through that much stuff, he was like my hang-on, and I've learned to let it all go, so.
Well, Laura, certainly we wish you well, and I think I would join Michelle and Trudy in saying that we thank you for your service. And if you could stay on the line, we'll have our producers, Michelle and Trudy would like to get your contact information, if you would be willing to share that with us off the air. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Laura.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Laura.
And it sounds like there's some PTSD issues that would certainly be coming into play there as well.
I think we have to be careful about PTSD, particularly what we see, you know, and we love that the media talks about veterans and the needs of veterans and the value. Veterans are not victims, but I think...
Well, let me tell you why I would arrive at that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And I perfectly understand why you might want to correct me, but I would assume, rightly or wrongly, that when she talks about seeing four of her comrades die, that would leave you with some sort of emotional scar.
Right, and I think the issue is there are degrees of PTSD. I'm a civilian. I have family that have served, which is why I'm so committed to this work. But there are degrees of PTSD, and there are people who have PTSD who are civilians who are functioning very well. So I think our veterans are particularly sensitive to that because so many PTSD cases have been shown that have ended in violence, but it's seen as a detriment if you're a veteran to be associated with that. What we see, though, is that there are a lot of veterans who might have PTSD, but have dealt with it, have, you know, used resources, and who have engaged and become valuable members of their community. One of the other things that Laura mentioned is this idea of she went through something with her husband. We see that 2/3 of our staff are veterans themselves. So going through, you know, somebody said to me, well, why couldn't Project Journey just be done by an organization that serves women? Well, the fact of the matter is one of the ways Project Journey is so special is that it's women veterans working with other women veterans. There's a peer, there's a camaraderie. They've been together through, they've shared an experience, and they actually draw strength from that through our program. So though Trudy herself is not a female veteran, mm-hmm. we have other folks that are, and we find that when you put them all into a room, there's value and strength in those conversations that could help someone like Laura during her path of figuring out how to do what she did, which is kind of move away from that world and back into our own.
Hmm. How did when this organization started, how was Project Journey born? And we're down to just a little less than sure. a minute now, but give us the thumbnail sketch.
So Veterans Leadership Program has been serving for 30 years, and we were started by local Vietnam veterans. 100% of our funding is used to serve local veterans. Project Journey started specifically because we were watching so many homeless women veterans come in with children who they couldn't go to shelters. Family shelter was overtaxed. So we decided, first off, our veterans shouldn't be in shelters. We would go out and we would partner with Action Housing and through United Way of Allegheny County and their funding and the great partnership, rent some apartments. And so when a woman veteran comes in, we put them in an apartment for 30 to 45 days, and we intensely work with them through Trudy and get them the services that they need, and then ultimately move them into their own apartment and access some additional funding to help them with their rent.
Very quickly, if someone would like to get a hold of you that is seeking help, and we lost Laura before she could give us her information, so hopefully mm-hmm. she'll call back and share that. But very quickly, how do they get a hold of you?
412-481-8200-8200 or neverforgetvets.org.
412-481-8200 to get a hold of the people at Project Journey. Want to thank both Michelle Margatai, whom you just heard there, and Trudy Friend for joining us on the program. I wish we had more time. Thank you for being
here. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Catch the entire show online at WESA.FM. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Have a great weekend.